Welcome to This Open House, where we talk about all things real estate related. With your hosts, David and Rebecca Guthrie of the Hacienda Group at Long Realty Company.
Welcome. Another episode of This Open House. I'm your host, David Guthrie. And we are with Hacienda Group at Long Realty Company, Foothills office in Tucson, Arizona. And it's finally starting to cool down. Out here in Tucson a little bit. I don't know.
It's below 100, so it's cool.
It's 93 degrees right now, and it's freezing. It is freezing out.
It was actually, when we had all the smoke cloud cover, there were a couple mornings when you went outside, and it was quote-unquote chilly.
Yeah, it was pretty scary when you woke up in the morning, and the sun looked like it was on Tatooine, and you were on Star Wars or something, just out in this alien world. Totally insane. Speaking of totally insane, the real estate market is still totally insane. Yeah. You know, we have multiple offers almost on everything, showing staggered one after another. You put the sign out front and the line starts. And appraisals, boy, they're taking a long time right now.
I think 45 days.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had one buyer ended up having to pay extra rush fees just to get an appraisal done in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, you know, right now, you know, there's a lot of factors to that as well. And one of the things is, you know, if it's an abnormal property or something, your standard, you know, Rita Ranch home where there's 100 of them, probably get picked up a little bit faster. But if it's got something unique like a detached garage or an extra guest unit or something, expect some delays on these things. And that could impact when you get keys. Really crazy time out there right now. And just to kind of quantify that in some of our numbers, just our quick market minute update here. Our stats that we have pulled from our local MLSAZ that covers Tucson and Sarita, Green Valley, even going all the way down to Nogales, Benson. It's a pretty large area. When I go ahead and pull up all the stats here, when I take active properties, and what I mean by active is there's currently no disclosed contract on it. It's available to show, available to buy. There is only 1,993 homes on that MLS there. Of course, when you add different stages of the process and we have active contingent, pending, you know, other these other statuses here, you end up with a total active of like 4,100, which seems a little bit better. But the point is, last 3 months, we've had over 5,600 sales that have occurred here, and that gives us a month of supply of about 2.23. Now, your average median comparable sales price is sitting about 248.8, so we're just under 250, and your median comparable list price is 279.9. However, going back to just active homes right now, these 1,993, if I strip out everything and just look at median pricing, 330,000. That's what the numbers show right now. When that combines with our active contingent homes, that's definitely going to go down into the mid 200s, but I'm fully expecting to see sales prices rise sharply over the next couple of months here. And great time to buy because those interest rates are extremely low and our monthly payments are still coming in under what you could probably rent that same size home for. And, you know, certainly with those kind of conversations, everything is so nuanced, so detailed. Having a real personal consultation is probably going to be best to have on that for your unique situation. And if you'd like to do that, shoot a text, 520-462-2611. That's 520-462-2611. Or you can email us at info@thisopenhouseshow.com. That's info@thisopenhouseshow.com. So enough about that. Let's talk about, Rebecca and I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we are currently remodeling our home.
We are. It's getting closer to being done, but the contractor said 4 to 6 weeks, and I laughed. I said, there's no way it's going to be done in 6 weeks.
I believed them.
David believed them. And so on Friday, it was the end of our 6 weeks, and it's not done. And we have a two-story house with no rails upstairs, so you can, if you wanted to, jump from our second story into our first story. And I said, we're not moving back in with three kids with no rails.
Yeah, yeah, because we wouldn't keep three kids if we did that. If somebody'd be knocking on our door, yes, pulling them out, or they'd end up falling off.
Yeah, and
off
then
there.
It's stuff like we don't have sinks in the bathrooms. And,
well,
you know,
we have sinks
other
in one
basic,
bathroom.
Just basic things.
She's exaggerating here. I mean,
not
it's
that there are no sinks in the master and in the upstairs kid bathroom. There are no sinks.
We have it downstairs. Anyway, there is one sink available and a kitchen sink, by the way. But you know what? The point that we're making is that delays occur.
They happen.
They happen. They happen. And you know, the way we deal with them is we just pivot. We adapt. Things change. Things move. Nothing stays the same. So we're adapting. We're going to figure out where the heck are we going to live for another week or so. But, you know, talking about shipping delays, you know, we're still waiting on our front door.
Yeah.
That hasn't come in yet. And so, we've got a beautiful front door.
Yeah, it's going to be gorgeous.
It's going to be great.
It's
worth the wait.
Yes. We're definitely going to do the HGTV before and after thing. But part of that is that the cost of concrete and the cost of lumber have gone up exponentially. Mm. So yeah. I was reading an article earlier this week from finance.yahoo.com that talked about lumber prices. So the lumber prices are going up so much that the average new build home is costing $16,148 more.
Wow.
Just because the wood is so... because the lumber's so expensive, and with the fires going on, we have to grow the trees, and if the trees burn down in a fire, we've got problems. And
just to put that in perspective, that's adding $68 principal and interest to your payment alone.
Yeah, so it's a big deal that the lumber's going up. Weyerhaeuser company is the continent's biggest wood producer, and it's a double whammy. So they shut down because of COVID, because they're in Oregon and Washington, and their governor shut them down differently than Arizona's governor Ducey shut us down. So they couldn't work during that, which obviously meant that there's less supply, and if there's less supply, it costs more, and now the fires are coming. The lumber prices are about $640, which is 68% higher than the average over the last 5 years. So like it's a big deal. As a result, the new home builds are costing more. If you want to add an addition, it's costing more. And so it's just a thing to keep in mind in terms of housing is just...
Yeah. Well, not only is it costing more, but it's taking a little bit more time to get some of these things done. And that's not even taking into account the demand that, you know, good contractors, good builders, and good labor has.
Yeah.
It really is. These guys are in high demand. If you want to make money right now in the construction world, you just got to do a couple of things. You know how to measure, know how to swing a hammer, a little bit more than that on a skill side. But really, to show up on time.
Do what you're going to say you're going to do, the way you're going to do it, at the price that you said you're going to do it.
You will clean
up. You will make so much money, right? If you're a handyman and you say, I will be there at Monday at 8 a.m. and you are there at Monday at 8 a.m.
after the shock wears off from the homeowner.
Right. I promise you, if you're sitting at home and you're like, you know, I could do handyman stuff.
Yeah.
And part of that is that when we had the hurricanes in Texas and Houston a couple years ago, when the housing market crashed, a lot of the labor that was doing that went other places that were in Tucson. They moved to other places because they needed to feed their families.
They were making bank doing work out there to clean up these areas.
Right. And then when the hurricanes hit, because there was so much destruction, a bunch of the Tucson workers, the Arizona workers, this happened in Phoenix too, but Arizona construction labor went to Texas. And the other thing that happened is that in Texas, because of the oil boom, if you were an electrician and you worked on the rigs versus working in construction, you could make so much more money per hour being on one of the rigs than you could wiring houses. So like that's one of the reasons why it's hard to find good electricians, is because it's just it's cost. I mean, everybody does it. Everybody looks at it. If I can make $60 working on the rigs and I'm going to make $20 wiring a house, why am I going to wire a house? So we're still dealing with that. And then, you know, you can get into the issues of we don't have trade schools that are teaching this anymore. And, you know, there's a lot of public policy that go, it's not just an easy, you know, here's the answer. There's a lot of public policy that's gone into why we're where we're at. But those are some of the reasons.
And just having some of these expectations and explanations set up front. And even with that said, you get people like me, not Rebecca, because she knew it was going to take 4 to 6 weeks. I just, you know, I'm optimistic. I'm the optimist.
It's very true. I'm definitely the glass half empty person.
But, you know, I should know better because I know this stuff. And sometimes when you deal with your own things, you kind of forget. But really having that discussion up front about, you know what, it may not be what you want to hear as a customer, as a client, you know, going in and knowing, you know, we're having shipping delays here. Let me just tell you up front. If you've got someone else saying they can do this in 3 weeks, go with them, be skeptical, but you know, it's something you should just be aware of.
Right. So speaking of setting expectations, we are going to take a break, but you can expect that we will be back after that break.
Are you interested in the real estate market? What does low inventory actually mean? Funny, real life real estate stories and things you should never do if you're looking to buy or sell a home. Join me, David Guthrie, and my wife, Rebecca Guthrie. We are full-time real estate agents with the Hacienda Group at Long Realty Company for this open house on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. on 1030 The Voice, where we will discuss all this and more. That's this open house on Saturdays at 11 on 1030 The Voice.
When the coronavirus struck your community, what if you had no soap, masks, food, medical care? This is the reality for the world's most vulnerable people. But there's hope. Children International is helping provide children and families in poverty with the critical essentials they need to survive. Things like food assistance, hygiene education, medical help, and financial aid. To learn how you can help, go to children.org/help today.
And we're back. This open house show with your hosts, David Guthrie.
And Rebecca Guthrie.
We're at the Hacienda Group Long Realty Company. And we were just talking about on the other side back there, you know, setting expectations, not getting the information that you may want to hear, but you know, it's just better to know up front.
Right.
Here's what to expect. You know, when you go into the doctor and the doctor says, look, this surgery is going to put you out on your back for 3 weeks. You're not going to be able to move. You're going to feel horrible. You know what to expect. And then if it's 2.5 weeks and you're feeling better, you're happy.
But or when if it's 4 weeks and you're like, hey, they said 3 weeks, then you know maybe something's wrong.
Yeah. Or if, again, expectation wasn't set properly, you might be angry. You might be, I was preparing for 3 weeks.
Right.
Why didn't you tell me what was going to happen here?
Right.
And, you know, setting expectations right up front is something that Rebecca and I really try to do on every single transaction with every single client. And, you know, sometimes we think, what would it be like if we were on the other side of this? If we were that, you know, buyer walking into an open house or what have you, and we weren't as, what are some of the things we could do to protect ourselves?
Right. And so because we hear the same questions a lot, especially when we have people who are interviewing agents, we came up with 6 questions that we thought that were helpful when you're interviewing an agent. And that's regardless of whether you're here or if you're going to be relocating for a job or for family and you're looking to buy somewhere else. These are just basic questions that are good to ask.
And the answers could vary, you know.
And what you are okay with could vary.
Yeah.
These are just questions that give you information. So the first question that we have is, how long have you been in the business?
And that's a great question. I mean, I think it's important to ask, you know, how long has someone been in the business? You know, for us, we can easily answer, been doing it about 16 years, full time.
And I joined David 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've got a long history. We've seen markets go up and down. And we have a whole lot of life left in us, hopefully, Lord willing. You know, but there are some people who have been in this business a whole lot longer than I've even been alive, you know? I mean, is that always the best thing? I don't know. Is just because you're a brand new agent coming out of school, is that a bad thing? You know, it really depends on the person. You know, the way that I've sometimes talked about this when I was new is like, well, yeah, I'm brand new to the business, but you know, if you were hiring a doctor to help you, would you want the person who just came out of med school and knew all the new tricks and new techniques and things that are out there? Or do you want the guy who's been doing it for forever? I mean, it all depends how you package it. But the point is, I think that we want to establish here is that's a good question to ask, because then you can kind of gauge.
And what's your comfort level?
Yeah. What's your comfort level? Do you want somebody who's just starting out? Everybody has to have that first transaction.
Right. So the next question then is this your full-time profession? There are a lot of part-time agents out there.
And part-time, lenders, part-time home inspectors, part-time, every profession has part-time work. Again, is that necessarily a bad thing? Are you getting a lack of competency or anything like that? Not necessarily, not at all. But depending on your needs and where you're at, having somebody in the profession full time could be a good thing. And also, you know, for us and for our clients, you know, this is how we feed our family.
Right.
We don't have necessarily other avenues that we're relying on and have other jobs to do, so we can focus 100% on our clients.
Right. So the third question is, how many transactions have you closed this year and also last year? And this question really matters because it gives you a sense of, are you do actually want to hire somebody who's busy? Because if you're busy, it means that you know what you're doing. You've got a lot of experience doing real estate. And real estate transactions can get really complicated. I mean, they really can. And there's a lot of things that you know if you've done lots of them. Plus, having done lots of them, you have the confidence when things get a little dicey, what that looks like.
Right. And, you know, for us, we've closed 29 transaction sides. We need to update a couple that we just did this last week here. You know, this year alone. Now, there are some people who are cranking out, you know, a transaction every 20 minutes or something. You know, again, it's your comfort level. Where are you at? We're wanting to be kind of in that middle point to where we can really focus on each client we take on. But at the same time, your average agent, I think, does about two a year.
Yeah, two a year. That's your average across the nation, is they only do two deals a year.
Right.
And so that gives you a sense of, you know, if you've got a large team with lots of agents working, you can advertise, you know, look, we close a deal every 20 minutes, but that's a lot of people working. It's not just that one agent. Or, you know, then you've got the other side where you're closing one or two a year. So it's kind of...
But not only transaction sides on that point matter, you know, when you look at... this was, probably 4 or 5 years ago. I was speaking to a broker in Long Beach, California, and just having conversation about their market out there. And I said, you know, tell me, what is your average agent take home? What is their gross income before tax? She told me $18,000 a year.
In California. That's...
How do you live on that?
Right,
I mean,
in California.
You are totally upside down on that with expenses and everything else. So, you know, as a buyer, as a seller, I'd want to know those questions.
Right. So question number four is, how will you help me find the house I'm looking for? So in this day and age, it's really easy to get on Zillow or Redfin, or, you know, Long Realty has an app, and look at homes, and it's a lot of fun. But as a realtor, we have tips and tricks. And also, one of the reasons that David and I are at Long Realty Company is because of our market share.
Yeah, we have a fantastic market share out here that we're able to really bring a benefit to our clients with. But I would say, if we were to quantify a number on the homes that we find our buyers, probably between 30% and 40% we actually bring to that buyer. Not that it's an off-market transaction necessarily, but it's just we see it before they have a chance to see it, and we're able to bring it to them. And then, even sometimes before all the websites have a chance to pull it down off of the MLS.
It can take about 48 hours for Zillow, for a house to hit Zillow. And in this marketplace, you don't have 48 hours to wait.
Yeah. So we have a really strategic process for how we find buyers' homes and put them through our process there that we explain very detailed when we're talking to them.
And a buyer consult.
But that really helps us to be able to get to know the client and make sure that their criteria is heard. And that's another thing. It's not really a question so much, kind of a pet peeve of mine, I guess, because we have a lot of clients who, you know, this is not their first time home purchase. And we always ask them, you know, tell us about your past experiences and what's going on. You know, one of the number one things that I hear buyers or even sellers sitting in my office saying, you know, I just didn't feel like they listened to me. I didn't feel like I kept telling them, you know, I really only want to be in this price range. And I kept seeing stuff outside of that range. You know, so it's hard to ask this in a question of, will you listen to me?
Right.
You know, how do you ask that
right.
question? But I think based
as you go through, I mean, when you go through the interview process, you're interviewing them and you can judge that. Are you listening to the things that I'm saying when I'm sitting in front of you before anything happens? So it's a good question. The fifth question, this is for sellers, is what will you do differently to market my house?
Yeah, great question. And in this post-COVID world right now, things are so different. You know, we have a lot of sellers who really like the fact that oftentimes, you know, we can get their house sold very easily for top price without bringing 100 people through their house.
Right.
They just don't want all the headaches from having to come in and go out and the scheduling and all of this other stuff. But still, even in this day and age, I find that a lot of homes, when I look through and I see them, they're just, you know, it's the cell phone pictures.
Right.
And again, that's another big pet peeve of mine is, you know, I love practicing on my 4K iPhone. It's a really good quality tech compared to what it used to be, but I'm not a photographer.
Right.
We hire that out and it kind of feeds back into, well, how many transactions have you closed last year? Do you have the marketing budget to be able to really effectively market my property?
Right, because it's the real estate job. It's the realtor's job to market your property. It's not your job to market the property. It's the realtor's job.
Absolutely.
So you want to ask, and you know, you might want to say, hey, can I see former listings so that I can get a sense of what you do?
Yeah.
David and I have a process. We do the same thing for every listing every time.
And right. That. Even if it sells before we have a chance
right.
to get the photographer out there, it's still important to us to get those things out there because you just never know. You just never know.
And then the last question is, do you have reviews from former clients? David and I are very proud of the fact that for the last 3 years, we've gathered reviews from our clients and we only have 5 stars.
Yeah, and that's very, very critical in this world where, I don't know, most people wouldn't buy a pair of shoes without looking at the online reviews
right.
or any, I mean, go to Amazon and you're choosing between two products. You are looking at online reviews. And you know, maybe, you know, it took us a while to start collecting these online reviews and the internet is a scary jungle out there. That doesn't mean you don't have the kind of clientele that can tell you as a prospective buyer or seller what this agent's capable of, but you know, maybe you could talk to some past clients and
right.
see how they've treated them. The point is that it's great to hear through the eyes of the consumer how was their transaction, and you should be able to see that.
And do they want to work with them again? I mean, we've all had experiences with people that were like, I couldn't wait to work with them again, and we've had experiences where don't ever use those people. And you know, if you've got people that you think are fantastic, tell friends about them, give referrals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really valuable thing. You know, if you've got a great doctor, tell your friends, I've got a really
right.
great doctor.
Right.
Those referrals really, really make a difference.
I would say probably, again, another 20 to 30% of our business is just past client referrals
right,
from their friends and families.
Honor.
We are so grateful when people do that. It just means the world to us.
Yeah.
And we take care of them as if they were our own, you know, family there at that point.
Yep.
And so
what would we want our moms to have? What would we want our sisters to have, brothers to have? So
absolutely.
Anyways, those are 6 questions that you can ask when you're interviewing. And these are actually truthfully good questions to ask when you're hiring any professional. You know, you might not be asking specifically about how many transactions you've closed, but if you're looking for a CPA, you know, these have, there's some value in looking at the reviews and those kinds of things. So,
and speaking of that, you know, we are always looking for great vendors, great people. You know, if you've got somebody who you think we should talk to as far as this is the best home inspector that I've ever had, or this is a great contractor, shoot us an email with their contact info to info@thisopenhouseshow.com. And if you have any questions regarding the real estate market, would like to sit down, have a consultation with us, shoot us a text, 520-462-2611.
Have a great weekend. We'll catch you next week.